What's going on, y'all? It's the Block Report. I'm your host, the Magnificent TDK, aka Tafar IXL. And this edition of the Block Report is brought to you by TDK Visions Inc. and Tafar Rise Publishing. Now, I know it's been a while since you guys have heard a new edition of the Block Report. Well, the thing is, your host has been busy getting certain things straight on other ends, and you know, my attentions were taken in other directions where I needed to focus them for a while, and now I'm here, so we're not talking about the past, we're talking about the present. And there's a lot of things that I'd like to talk about. And as we can see, we're about less than or close to 90 days in, closer to the election time for the President of the United States. There's a lot of things going on. They're talking about mail-in ballots and the United States Postal Service. So there's a lot of controversy, and also another stimulus package and the unemployment benefits that ran out on July 31st. So all that stuff is going on, but we're not going to be talking about that stuff just tonight or this morning or this afternoon, wherever you are in the world. But I'm bringing it up because I know that those are some of the things that a lot of people may be looking at. And let us not forget, Tekashi 6ix9ine is out there running around with armed security, former ex-cops, daring the world to test this gangster. And as the world continues to turn, this is what it is. So, but now, what's going on with y'all? There's a lot of stuff that's going on out here. And I hope that y'all have been listening to some of the other recorded programs and episodes of the broadcast and getting up to date and getting in tune with the message and our ideas here that we like to share with you on the Block Report. Also, don't forget, you can find the Block Report on your favorite podcast networks, such as Overcast, Breaker, Google, Spotify, Apple. You can get Anchor. And I'm seeing a lot of people that are listening to the podcast and playing it via Amazon Alexa. So people have their Amazon Fire TV or whatever going on, and they're jumping it off right there. Alexa, play the Block Report. I like that. I dig that. So, but it's a lot of stuff going on, y'all. And let me just say, because from my perspective, as far as being a black man in America, because above all else, we're not going to belittle or undermine that distinction. And the thing is that I have a concern, not just for myself, but as one that has family and younger people that are looking up to me, maybe not in always looking up to me to see how they want to do things, but looking and saying, or you know, looking to follow exactly my path and do what I do, but looking and saying, well, he's been here a while. How is he dealing with the situation? Is there anything I can learn or take from him? Is there any information or knowledge or wisdom that I could obtain and discern from listening to him and or watching his actions? And so it is, I take it as a responsibility, a duty, to speak very candidly and truthful on subject matters concerning being a black man in America or a black person in America, under living in a system, an injustice system, a system with institutional systemic racism and white supremacy. Now, even now you have the mainstream media, so-called white media, using terms. They have people come on there using terms like white supremacy. They never really used to have that. That would always be treated as a controversial thing. You might see that on Geraldo or Donahue back in the day on one of them talk shows. We're like, oh, we have something exotic here. We've brought in some white supremacists, some Ku Klux Klan members and all of that type of stuff. So, because the thing is, that was something in America that was on the front page, condemned and looked down upon and kind of shunned. But yet still, the problem is that a lot of the individuals that believe in that type of ideology are in positions or are related to people who have positions of power and influence, so therefore the ideology gets to flourish. So if you follow what I said, just because it's shunned in the public, but everyone knows the deal in the background, and everyone follows the ideology and the code of the ideology, then what's done in the front means nothing. It's kind of like the person who might say to you, oh, I would never lie. And they say, but they got their hands behind their back and their fingers crossed. Remember that old school thing? Yeah, behind the back with the fingers crossed. Meaning that basically whatever I say to you now means nothing because I don't really mean what I say to you now. But as long as you don't know what I really mean and how I really feel, then you're out of step and out of touch with what's really going on. And that's how I have the drop on you and have the upper hand on you. And that's the game that's being played. Couple things I wanted to talk about is, well, that was being played. Now you have people that are more emboldened as far as the white supremacists and white nationalists. They've been more emboldened to come out and express their true thoughts and feelings and come out with it more. But before, they wouldn't have to do that necessarily. When they were kind of shunned and disregarded for expressing those type of views, okay, yeah, they couldn't express it out publicly and outright. But then, hey, if they're a cop, if they're a judge, if they're a lawyer, they could exert and move the wheels of a system, the injustice system, to inflict punishment and penalty on those that they have those racist views against. So what does it matter if I don't get to speak it out in public when I can actively perform my belief and ideology through a system. So this is where when you can actively practice your belief and ideology to harm others through a system, this is a form of exercising power. You are exercising power now. I don't have to say it outright to you. I don't like you because you're whatever. Or I hate you. I can just perform my hate and despise for you. And my racism and exercise it through the system to punish you and penalize you. So what are we talking about here? We're talking about systems. We're talking about racism and we're talking about systems. You see, a lot of people, I go up on some message boards because I follow certain message boards, and I see, or when I say message boards, like pages or groups that are on things like Facebook, Twitter, or whatever, stuff like that. And people put up these threads and these conversations, and there's a lot of people that go through a whole lot of mental gymnastics trying to describe what racism means. And what I find that is a lot of people have no idea what racism means, because at some point they start talking about things like people calling you names and stuff like that. Racism has nothing to do with somebody calling you a name. Name calling is not racism. Racism has to do with being able to exercise power over another because of race. So, you know, there are, and I'm giving you the abridged brief version of the definition. I will recommend, though, you can get even more heavy scholarship on that by listening to people like or looking up books like Powernomics and a Dr. Claude Anderson and folks of that ilk and nature, and a Dr. John Henry Clark and those types of people. So you can research and get your information from there to understand what racism is about. But a person who doesn't have power, who is powerless and cannot affect the life journey, destiny, or course of one's life, cannot practice racism the course of another's life that is not their own, that is not from their particular group. You cannot practice racism unless you are able to exercise restriction and access to resources and opportunities that are available in the system. You cannot practice racism unless you can inflict systematic punishment on a whole group of people with no recourse. Someone saying they don't like you, having a prejudice or a bias against you for your skin color, your hair, your eye color, or whatever, that is not racism. That is not racism. Racism has to do with power, exercising power. But anyway, I don't want to belabor that point. However, what I did want to get into is there was a conversation. Now, me, I don't tend to, I was involved in a conversation with a sister, a black woman. I believe she's a few years my senior. And the thing is, you know, I didn't bring the conversation. Me, I don't like really talking politics with people because people get emotional and everybody just decides to pick a side. And the only side that I'm for is I'm for my own interests, not a party. I'm for my interests, and my interests include for the safety and the benefit and the advancement of those in my family and those that look like me. That's the interest that I'm on. Because every group votes for their group's interests. There is no group out there that you could pick out that says, okay, we're going to go vote so that we can help this other group of people. Except for some blacks down with some blacks that believe they have a black and brown coalition, or some interracial coalition and all of this other stuff. But if you really did a study and checked it out and do a survey and said you went to any ethnic group, you went to those of sexual, you know, the LGBT, if you even went to the peoples with disabilities, if you went with people who claimed and said they were working families, they're not going to, whoever they are, whatever their party or their grouping is, their whole thing is the Police Benevolent Association. They're not looking to give you your vote because of what you're going to do for other people. They're looking to see what you're going to do for them, and if you can present to them what you will do for them specifically, then that lets them know whether or not they want to give you their vote specifically. Well, anyway, the sister was bringing up the politics, and 2 points that she brought up, because 2 points is, well, you got to decide between one or the other. And I just essentially said, well, I'm not making a choice between the lesser of two evils. Evil is evil. Why am I going to choose one lesser evil? What kind of sense does that make? The other part that I said to it, as in a comical way, but dead serious, is you're not going to make me choose between a shit sandwich and a shit kebab. It's still shit. So it's the same thing as saying choosing between the lesser of two evils. It's still evil. And when either side or neither side has committed nothing to you specifically that they're going to do for you for your vote, then there's no, then you don't, what are you voting for? The because a lot of people are voting on them or going on this vote tangent and thing based off of emotion. Because I know what you're voting against. You're voting against Trump. You don't like Trump. But what are you voting for? What is the other side going to do for you specifically? And then, I mean, you know, just this whole thing with this presidential thing is more or less like a popularity contest, because first of all, Joe Biden, he appears to be senile and losing it. That's one. So, I mean, he doesn't even look like he could last through a 4-year term as president. We have a pandemic, global pandemic thing going on, an economy thing going on, and Joe Biden, you're going to have him up there as the leader, having to make all these tough decisions when he's basically looking like, you know, he could barely make it through the day. This don't make no sense. You're not even using any common sense here with this stuff that you're doing. Then also with his track record and his running mate's track record for locking up black people and enjoying it. So, I mean, I can understand why a white person would vote for them. I can understand why an Asian person would vote for them. I can understand why any other group of people would vote for them. Not quite sure I could understand why a black person would vote for them. So I want to know, you can just let me know, you know, what are you voting for? I hear people, they come on and they say, well, we need to come with an agenda. As far as I hear, and I keep my ears open and listening around, and there's an agenda that is out there. So when I hear people say things like, we need to get an agenda together. No, there's an agenda out there. The thing is that you don't agree. The problem is that because black people, well, not the problem, but the fact is because black people are not monolithic and they don't believe in, or they don't have one specific type of ideology, and everyone has their own specific way how they think things should go, that the group or the correct way things should be done and how you should go about things. People will say, oh, no, you know, they all of a sudden, because you disagree with this person who is saying that they don't see a candidate to vote for. And then that person explains what their agenda is. And then you act like you didn't hear what the agenda was, talking about we need to get together an agenda. No, you're not listening. You're not listening and you're not paying attention. And that's what's going on. And that's, and that, if anything, it won't be you not voting that's gonna end up being to your detriment. What's gonna be to your detriment is you not listening to those that look like you that are out here expressing their ideas and concepts, not taking those concepts seriously. Because the thing is, I hear a lot of people talking out here on the same subject, and there's always common ground, but there's always something that someone wants to pick out and have a beef with. So yeah, you want to vote for somebody with a D in front of their name, and if another person don't want to vote for that person, you say, oh, they must be a Trump supporter or a Republican. So what if they are? So what if they are? I'm not saying that they are, but I'm just saying, so what? What's your point? My thing is this. Neither one of them, the system has been around for over political system has been around for over 2 centuries. And essentially, how has it benefited black people on either party, on either side? As Dr. Claude Anderson points out, which, you know, I'm going to mention and give credit to where I got the information, because I didn't do the research and I'm citing it, but that black people own 0.5% of the wealth in this country now, and 150 years ago they owned 0.5%. You had the Democrats and the Republicans around the whole damn time. So what happened? What happened? Which side is for you? what you got to realize is that there is no side with no bunch of white folks up in there that is for you looking for your interests. You need to be looking for your interests. There is no side with no bunch of Asian folks sitting around looking for your interests. You need to be looking about your interests. And listen, I'm using it on a racial level, but you could even take this to a personal level, because there's something where when you look at things, I'll give you something real simple. All right. This is a phrase or a saying, but it establishes the point. A person is a people, and a people is a nation. So you could take a nation and then break it down into peoples in the nation, and then break the peoples down to the person. But either way, what it comes down to is that you must be the one that is concerned about getting your interests taken care of and dealt with. You, not you sitting up there talking about, well, I'm going to wait for this so-and-so called person or whatever, I have this person from this other group, and somehow they're going to give a damn or have so much concern and care to make sure that your community and those that look like you and you, that all your interests are met. Don't you see when the Democrats, when they come around and they talk to you, they always use terms like people of color, minority. Kamala Harris has already said, I'm not going to do anything specifically for black people. The thing is, they don't say that when they go to the police unions. We're not doing nothing specifically for police. They don't say that when they go to all these any other union group or whatever. They don't say we're not specifically doing anything for you, these politicians. They don't say that when they go to the LGBT community. They don't say that when they go to the Jewish community. They have AIPAC. They don't say, oh, we're not doing nothing specifically for Jews or for the AIPAC. They never say that. They don't say anything like that. Someone who says things like that is essentially telling you, kiss their ass. They don't care about you. You're at the back of the line. I'm just saying, this is common sense. This is common sense. And if you would get out your feelings and your emotions for 2 seconds and try to think this thing through, you would come to a common sense solution. So, and another thing you got to remember, you're not obligated to vote for a politician. The politician is supposed to win over your vote. The politician is supposed to offer you something, a reason. Offer you something tangible for you to want to vote for them. You don't just say, oh, well, I want to vote for them because I don't like the other guy. This is a popularity contest. That's not what politics is about. That's political immaturity that you're practicing. Now, I might have borrowed that term from somebody else, but I also have a term as a side note that I use called spiritual immaturity. Or spiritual maturity, which is basically, you know, it's your learning curve on a spiritual level. And so I can go ahead and use, since I have more than 2 brain cells in my head, I can then flip it and see that where it's the same thing with political maturity or immaturity, where it's expressing where you are on the knowledge base of politics, on where you are on the curve of the knowledge base of politics. So, yeah, that's right. It's not just some guy that's on here that's just talking. This ain't no dummy. So now, let me give you a little bit more. We're going to go into a little bit more about what the sister said. And so two things. What did I say? So the second thing was, well, don't you want to win? Remember, we were talking about the lesser of two evils part. We dealt with that already. And so the next thing was, well, don't you want to win? And I said, win what? What are you going to win? Because you got to remember, the whole thing is, what are you getting out of this? What are you really getting out of this? What are you going to win? When I asked that question, I couldn't get an answer. There were things that, you know, afterwards try to bring up, like, oh, housing and this and that and so on and so forth. And me, I'm saying like this, well, the election's been going on for so long and all this time, and housing's still an issue. Some of these issues, but it's like, how long does it take to resolve these issues? You've been voting for the same group of the same party the whole damn time, and they still haven't gotten any of your issues resolved. I don't know about you, but if you were the CEO of, but if you went to any company and they had a CEO of a company and that CEO couldn't produce year after year, or the results they produced were lackluster or less than satisfactory, that person would not be CEO of the company, would not get any more votes. So what I'm saying is, you got to get practical with this thing. You got to get out your feelings. You got to get out your emotions and get practical with this thing. Stop listening to these paid buffoons that are out here trying to tell you what's going on out here and what to do. They're getting paid to say what they're saying. They don't care two nuggets about you. So the thing is, so what are you going to win? So you just want to be on the winning team. You just want to, and then what they're going to do for you afterwards. Because my thing is, okay, you're going to bring in some people who are known for locking up and locking up black people and making laws and locking up black people. Two people who have never stood against police brutality. Two people who have never promoted to punish police for harming, abusing, and killing black folk. So, what are you winning there? What's the win? You're going to talk about housing and healthcare. Well, I'll tell you something. If they are not going to punish those police that are out here, if they're going to tell you police reform, which is not police reform that is needed or required, it's punishment for the police. That's what's required. It's dismantling the injustice system, the so-called justice system, and replacing it with a system of justice. As I hear my brother Tariq say, I believe he got that from somewhere, Neely Fuller, from someone named Neely Fuller. So, but I like that phrase. We must tear down an tear down a system of injustice and replace it with a system of justice. And the thing is, you're not going to get, if you have people who are basically card-carrying racists, and even if they're not, but they go ahead and they seek out the support of racists and take donations from racists, then how can you expect for them to go in any office without promising to do what's right to you to protect your rights from the racists? Protect, and you're going to put them in office with them promising you nothing but some health care and some housing and some education. Well, you won't need any of that when you're dead. When the racist kills you, you won't need any of it. And I know people are out there saying like, oh, so much black people kill other black people. Yeah, but those people that kill other black people, they get punished. They get punished for it. They go to jail. They do time. I'm talking about the people who do it and don't get punished, that end up retiring and having a pension, or having a GoFundMe, getting hundreds of thousands of dollars. That's what I'm talking about. You can talk to me about, you can say and mention, yeah, all those black people that kill other black people. Yeah, but they get punished. They don't have GoFundMes. They don't have pensions. They don't have getting paid to stay home. They don't have benefits. So there's a difference. Let's deal with those that have these benefits, that are not being punished, that are collecting taxpayers' money while killing people out here under the guise of being law enforcement or a police officer. That's what I'm talking about. So, in addition, the sister went on and she said, well, oh, that's just one issue. So I said, well, okay, you're right. It's one issue, but it's not an important issue. No, it's important. Okay, so what other issue is more important than that issue? She mentioned agriculture and started going into some other things. And I said, none of that won't matter when you're dead. Because none of it matters. See, none of these other issues matter when you cannot walk around and conduct business freely without the threat of possibly being detained and killed and maimed by law enforcement, and no punishment being rendered to that race soldier for their crime. The whole thing, if you want to eliminate all of that and make sure that that's no longer an issue, make sure that's no longer an issue and we can stop that right away. Won't take no time. Every time the race soldier, under the guise of being a law enforcement police officer, kills, maims, or harms an unarmed black person, they get life in jail, period. You start with that. Life in jail. No pension, no benefits. Nope. You get a cot and a cot and a cell. Then we can stop all the talking about this once you start producing justice. You can kill all the long conversation, all the talking, the back and forth, once you start locking them up for life. And even put the threat of the death penalty on there as well. And here's the case. See, it's not just that I'm saying that. Remember, as I said, take your emotions and your feelings out of things and use your common sense. There's a brother out there in Seattle, Mr. Andre Taylor, has an organization called Not This Time, and they were able to enact a law out there to produce police accountability. It should probably be a nationwide thing, but they have it out there where he's at in Seattle. And kudos to him for the work he put down out there, of course, and because he suffered a loss. His brother lost his life to the police. So, at least he went out there, stood up, and then, as he said, not this time. So, we're going to produce accountability. So salute to him and all his efforts. But essentially, that's what it's about, is having that accountability. There's talks of, well, as I've seen, to get rid of the qualified immunity that police and DAs have. And I'm totally with that, because those protections are basically essentially the reasons why they get away with a lot of the stuff that they do. I never looked at it this way, but I overheard someone speaking and saying that, yeah, you know, that the so-called legal system, the punishment system, the injustice system, these DAs and courts have like a 95 to 99% conviction rate. And I remember I saw that for New York, at least 95 to 99%. Every borough had that. And several years ago. But like I said, I overheard this person bringing it up again, and it just brought it to my attention that I was privy to this information. I just hadn't been following up on it and keeping tabs on it. Plus, I knew the feds also have like a 99 percentile conviction rate. So the thing is, though, in New York, even though they had these high 90s percentile conviction rate, the turnover rate was high as well in the 80s. In the 80-something percentile. Turnover meaning that after the person took the plea deal or got convicted at trial, but most of the time, the reason why they have a high conviction rate is because people take the plea deal, then they appeal. But when they would come back on appeal, they would get the case overturned. So basically, the state was working to find a way to, at least, they weren't really even proving their case. They were doing things very sloppily, not even abiding by certain, you know, not even abiding by the laws and the rules and regulations just to get a conviction. I mean, just doing all kinds of things. So to have their conviction rates stacked up high to make them look good so that they could go ahead and then make a run for some political office, these DAs and stuff, to claim that how hard they were on crime. Same thing with these judges and stuff, or if a DA, a DA trying to become a judge or attorney general, they could tell you, oh, my conviction rate, how many people I locked up. There was actually a judge who had ran with that and said, like, how many years, thousands of years they handed out to people. Not saying that they were correct. Not saying that they correctly made decisions and put away people that were guilty. No, bragging on how many thousands of years that they gave people in jail to go to for to go to jail. So it's part of an industry to help these individuals make careers in a political stance. It's not about justice or truth. So, a very high percentage rate they had on overturned convictions because people would come back on appeal. But by that time, they serve almost 2/3 or more of the sentence. And you'd have to have, I mean, if you didn't have some money, you would have to have at least, it's going to take you some time if you're going to do it on your own. But you'd have to have some money sitting that you get some money together so you could get a lawyer that will go bring your case on appeal, because an appeal, bringing an appeal is not cheap. So therefore, you know, if you don't know how to put together an appeal properly on your own or whatever, that's time you're going to have to spend to figure that out. If not, then you got to go get a lawyer and spend the money to go do that. So, but a lot of times these cases, these DAs and these police, is trumped up charges, it's all kinds of stuff that's illegal, that's done. And because they have qualified immunity, these people don't get locked up. So, that's for the criminal offenses that they commit in the court system. And if you didn't know, for every person in that courtroom, the judge, your lawyer, the defense lawyer, and the prosecutor, they all, even though you might be the defendant and they're trying to, and the prosecutor's trying to put charges on you, they all have an obligation not to infringe upon your rights and treat you unfairly and have you unfairly convicted. There's rules written for each one of them, prosecutorial rules, the canons of judicial conduct, ethics and laws and legal basis for lawyers in the courtroom that states this, and they continuously violate it. But, yeah, so I don't want to draw too far off onto a tangent about that, and plus I don't have all my information here to go ahead and really give y'all a thorough enough explanation, because I gotta remember, not everyone has the same level of information or is starting at the same level of where I'm at of understanding. Some of you, this may be all new to you and it may be sounding complicated. And for some of you, because, you know, you think it'll never happen to you, but that's why, like, you're like, oh, okay, you know, but when it does happen to you, that's why you'll be over there broke, stinking, and hungry and in a cell, and they'll keep you in there forever, and then when... And you'll be wondering when you're going home because you don't know what time it is. You don't know what you're dealing with. So you better get wise and know what's going on. Because one thing you should know is never be somewhere unless you got real connections in the place where you at. Never be somewhere without knowing the rules, laws, and regulations and the get down of that place, of that town. Because in some places you can ride with your gun on your lap while you're driving the car. And in some places you need to have it locked up in a box. You better know which kind of place. And in some places you can't have one on you while you're in the car or in the car. So you got to know the rules, regulations, and laws of wherever you at so you can know how to roll and conduct yourself. Ignorance is not a defense. Ignorance of the law is not a defense. So, the last part here, I think we're going to wrap this up, but essentially, like I said, you know, you guys can do what you want to do, but what I want you to do is to make your choice, make it be an informed choice and decision, and to go about that decision and seek to achieve your interests. I saw where, then the sister said something about, oh, well, just get them in there and then hold them accountable. Ooh, what kind of sense does that make? That makes no sense. What are you going to be able to do to them when they're there in the office? Now they're in there and they're telling you, no, we can't do that because we have to deal with the pandemic. No, we can't do that because we got a trade war we got to fix with China. No, we can't do that because we have to deal with DACA. No, we can't do this. We can't do this. We can't do that because we have this to deal with. So, you know, you have to, there is an agenda out there. There is an agenda. So for those of you that keep saying, let's get an agenda together, I think you need to go ahead and check it out, because there is an agenda that's out there. It might not be the one you came up with. And you know, and what I think when people say that, and I'm saying, you know, it's possible. I'm not saying everyone is aware of what I'm aware of, but I know some people that are far more, you know, well, I won't say far more, but I know some very, I'm listening, and I said, these people appear to be very astute and intelligent. So how is it that they don't know that there's a certain agenda that is out there, you know? And even if, why do you need a group agenda that you need to go ahead and get down or whatever? I mean, I think the group agenda should be understood and known already. It doesn't even have to be said or written down. It should be understood, because generally on a level, you know what kind of things are facing your people and your group. The problem is, some people, what I perceive it to be, and I could be wrong, is that y'all think y'all are some other group. So y'all must think that y'all in another group. And so the problems that affect those that look like you don't really affect you for whatever reason, because you're in some other group. So I think there's an illusion going on here. There's an illusion going on here. But yeah, so anyway, as I said, why make a choice between the lesser of two evils? What are you going to win? How are you going to hold somebody accountable after they are in office? Why vote for someone when they don't promise to do anything for you specifically? These are my questions. I probably should have posed these questions at the beginning of the episode. I sort of did, but I answered them one by one by going through the conversation, or at least explored them by going through the conversation I had with the sister that was coming at me with these retorts or these responses. And eventually at the end of it, she said, well, then who are you going to vote for? Tafari XL? And you know what? That might not be a bad idea. I know. I got a big ego. But, hey, could be something to think about. But the thing was, as the sister was saying, you're not on the ballot. How are you going to win? Well, listen, it doesn't make sense. I'm going to bring it right back to this again. Why choose between the lesser of two evils? It's still evil. Two, what are you going to win by choosing a lesser evil? What do you win? Or choosing evil, you just win evil. That's all you win. And three, you're not going to make me choose between a shit sandwich or a shit kebab. And four, you don't vote for anyone who doesn't promise to do anything for you specifically. That does not promise to adhere to your agenda or your demands, your concerns specifically regarding you and your community. In your group. That's politics. And five, you can't hold someone accountable after they've, it's much more, well not, you can't, but it's going to be much more difficult to hold someone accountable after you vote them in without getting them to promise to do something specifically for you. So for instance, an example would be, on day one, I promise, as president of whatever, or as mayor, as governor, I'm going to do this specifically for all the midget people across America. I'm going to institute that they all get private jets. Whatever. So my point is, all the politicians go out there and they promise to do things specifically for the groups that they're speaking to. They promise to do things specifically for them. And that's the point. That is the point. So I hope you can get that and understand that. My time is running low. I can't believe we actually did a whole hour on this one. Remember, you can find the Block Report podcast on Spotify, Overcast, Breaker, Apple, Google, Anchor. Of course, when I say Apple, that's on your iTunes. You can get it on desktop or mobile. And also on Amazon, Alexa. People are pulling it up, so I'm sure they found a way to go ahead and connect it, I guess, to their Fire Stick TV, because I think Alexa's on Fire Stick, but maybe, I don't know, whatever else, however they use it, maybe they got the Alexa hooked up with their iTunes, I don't know, but I just see that Alexa, a lot of people are hooking it up through that way, and other ways that I still don't even know about, but I appreciate all those that tune in, that are checking out the program, and you can also find our Facebook page, The Block Report, facebook.com/TheBlockReport, and the Block Report podcast is also on Instagram at Instagram at well Instagram.com at The Block Report Podcast. Anyway, we're done. Till next time. See you. Peace.